You're listening to Coach Your Brains Out. This is part two of our conversation with Heather Olmsted on discipline.
Welcome to Coach Your Brains Out, the show that explores learning from the top minds in volleyball and beyond. With your hosts, John Mayer, Billy Allen, Andrew Fuller, and Nils Nielsen.
And as coaches, I guess part of the art of coaching is caring for our players while also challenging them. I guess, do you have any thoughts on that? How do you strike a balance between challenging them while also letting them know that, you know, you're there for them?
Yeah, I think it's so true, having that balance between care and challenging them. So one of the things I think of when you asked that question right now is the quote people always bring up. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And it's like, right. But it's so true. And right now for me, I'm personally working on this because of the current situation with COVID-19, where it's definitely allowed me, which I'm grateful for, to put, you know, more time into showing how much I care for our athletes. There's not much for me to do to challenge them, because either they're working out or they're not. And so regardless, I don't have a say in it because of NCAA rules, but I have a huge say in showing them that I care about them, how they're doing, how their families are doing. So that balance is always there. And right now it's out of whack, and I get to be more on the caring side than the challenging side. And I think that's awesome. And you can never show that you care too much ever, you know, never, ever.
Yeah. I was going to say the Zoom meeting sounds great. Are you going to carry any of that over once, let's say, stuff starts to settle back to normal? Are there some lessons that you've learned with, I guess, caring for your athletes and connecting that you're going to kind of reinstitute?
Oh yeah. I've got a ton, and I don't know about a ton, but I've got quite a few things that I'm enjoying doing, that shows I care and I'm interested in, you know, just comes back to, you know, how much are you thinking about the people that you're around and spending time with, and how much, you know, are they on your mind? And if they are, then show that and do something for them. And, so I don't know that we'll be Zooming every night, you know, if we're practicing every day, we get on a Zoom call. No. But I know what you're saying. And I'm liking where it's going. But you know, when we get back into the things kind of being normal, it's going to take away from that opportunity to spend time on that. So, you know, I'm going to take notes and see what I can implement when we're back, you know, full force. And I think that's a great reminder. So thanks for reminding me to take those notes. And I think, you know, when it starts to become part of who you are, you don't have to think about it as much. It's just the caring and the showing that is going to be who you are as a person. But I know for me, you know, sometimes I'm so focused that it comes across that, you know, I don't care, and I need to be better at that.
Do you think it sways, like right now, maybe the challenge side is lower because we really can't. And obviously safety is so important right now, so we want to show a lot of care. But when you're in the middle of season, does then like the challenge side become a way higher priority, and the care side, I mean, still matters, but maybe it's lower. I don't know.
That's where the balance is, you know, is it feels like I'm challenging these kids every day to go hard. And you know, if they can do it themselves, then the challenge part for me, and I have kids that I don't have to say a word. They're going to go hard every day, every play. It's incredible, you know, but there are kids where you've got to challenge them to bring it. And so I think when you put in that caring part and that love part, and you've done the work, you know, before, and you're continuing to do it, I think, you know, you can challenge as much as you want. But I do think there's a balance to too much, you know, challenge, and knowing when to back off of a certain kid or even the team, and, you know, feeling that out. And I think that comes, you know, just with coaching and knowing our teams and knowing the individual players and how they want to be talked to and communicated with. And that's our job. It's pretty cool when we can figure those things out.
Nice. All right. Well, one more on kind of prioritizing things. With you know, being an athlete in high school or in college, or I guess anytime in life, there's a lot going on with school, social lives. So how do you get your athletes to prioritize the right things and go all in for your guys' mission at BYU?
Yeah, I think, you know, we want to make sure our priorities at BYU are made clear from the beginning with recruits, from the get-go. So for us, we're unique in that, you know, we have a code of conduct, and it makes things a little simpler for us. And we like to say it's an advantage for us because our recruits and our team knows that our standards and the priorities when they come in. And so it's not so much of an issue, but there are going to be different times during the year where I'd say our priorities aren't so balanced. And so, for instance, you know, in season, you've got the volleyball part that's just way outweighing other stuff than the balance going on. And there's a lot of volleyball, whereas the summer, you know, there's not so much and you've got other things you can do. And yeah, you're going to play volleyball and work out, but it's not balanced. The priorities aren't the same. And that's just the way it is. So we talk as best we can and we teach how to manage our priorities and how they're going to ultimately have to do that after college with work and family, friends, whatever it is. And so it's a constant conversation of us teaching, you know, and when they get a little sideways, you know, that's our job as coaches to help them get back on track. And that's ultimately going to be their challenge when they graduate. That's life, you know, welcome to adulting.
Nice. So we do have some random questions. The first one we've actually touched on a little bit, but I still want to get into it more. Cause this was something Lacey had brought up that it sounded like you guys did really well. Mm-hmm. Kind of getting into goal setting. And I mean, I think my pass with it is everyone's like, yeah, we want to win. And I think every other team saying, yeah, our goal is to win. So I guess, how do you make it more meaningful, more specific for your team that season with that specific mm-hmm. group?
Yeah, I think, you know, you want to inspire each team each year to challenge them. How far can you guys go? How good can this group be? This group in 2020 will never be the same. We've got kids graduating. We've got kids coming. So And some of you guys are seniors. Some of you guys are freshmen. The freshmen. So in 2018, when we went to the Final Four, you know, we had a good freshman class and they were never going to get to play with those seniors ever again. So motivating them as best we could to enjoy playing with Lacey, Lindy, Ronnie, Danelle, Sid. I mean, basically this is the opportunity you'll never get again. And, you know, going from there. But for me, you know, the goals or the purpose, whatever you want to call it, that gives me, our team, motivation and gives us direction. And so we like having those goals. We know where we're going, you know, but our team, we try to teach them, but we want to find joy in the doing. So we always say it's in the doing, it's in the work. And successful and high performing people, you know, they love the work. Think about all the professional athletes. Think about the Michael Jordan documentary going on right now. Did he not love the work part of practice? He's going out in practice. They would double team him, triple team him, try to make him it so he would lose. And he loved it. He loved the work. And so for us, it's the work that's fun. And when you're always putting in that work and buying into it, then you're going to end up mastering your craft and getting better at what you're doing. And so, you know, we never want to think that we've arrived. So we don't have egos and we're always going to stay in the present, just forward focused mindset. And then, you know, hopefully it results in winning, and winning's a lot of fun. So that's kind of how we approach it.
Like, are you guys in a room? Or are you giving them assignment? Like, go out and like think about, you know, our mission for the year. Are you guys just all together kind of whiteboarding it? How does like the kind of nuts and bolts of it?
Yep, we are. We're going to get in a room. We're going to have Craig with us, our mental strength coach, and we're going to write out just, you know, like our goals. We probably do a little different than other people, but we have our goals. We know what it is that we want. And then, quite honestly, we don't bring it up a ton because we know it's there. It's giving us that linearity and that direction and that focus. So we'll bring it up occasionally. You know, we want to win a national championship. We want these girls to be a part of BYU's first women's national championship. We got to catch up to the guys, and they were going to win their fourth this year. And so we got a lot of work ahead of us, you know, and they inspire us. We want to win the first national championship. So we don't need to talk about that every day. We know that. And we're going to get kids that want to do it. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that Lacey and Lindy wanted to win a national championship. And so, but then we're going to get more down to the nuts and bolts of, okay, what does that look like? How we can, let's forget about that. And let's just focus on, you know, today. And, you know, or that we break it down to smaller parts, you know, then you go to conference, then you go to non-conference. And ultimately it comes down to, we just got to win our next match.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we can do.
Yeah.
That easy.
Another random question. Why don't we see more women head coaches?
Yeah, I think the question, you know, for me is how can we get more women coaching volleyball? And that starts with, you know, young women having experiences from mentors, female and males, such as yourself, that really show and model and lift and inspire these women to want to be that for somebody else. And for us to be, good role models for the younger generation is huge, whether it's in club or high school or college. And then I think we need to give them opportunities to coach and to get involved. And for me, that's a little bit different. I know it's not quite the answer to your question, but that's the question I like to ask.
Mm. What about in your personal life? Do you think there's been sacrifices being a head coach, and you've been doing it for a while now?
Yeah, I think, you know, every time you're part of a team, whether it's a player or a coach, like we're all sacrificing to be part of that team and part of that bigger goal or vision. Everybody is, especially when you have time demands on certain seasons and, you know, when you can and can't, you know, be able to just do something. And so, I just look at everything that I've been given because I'm a head coach, and the friendships mm-hmm. and the experiences and the life lessons. And I feel extremely blessed and grateful for everything that I've gotten out of it. And it's, you know, from seeing my dad be a coach and looking up to him, and now my brother and myself, I mean, that it's just incredible what it's given us and our family. And yeah.
And then with your dad as a ref and one of the legendary refs in our sport, do you have a different perspective on refereeing, or are you like John, you still get really angry at him?
Oh yeah, no, I definitely have a different perspective. I try to take it easy on the refs because I know how hard it is to do what they do, and they do a great job all along the country, you know, indoor, outdoor. I saw from my dad the preparation that goes into what they do and how they show up every day for their matches. So whenever I get like riled up or heated, I try to stay as calm as I can, just control what I can control because I know how hard it is what they're doing. But I'll tell you what, my dad, John and Billy, he deserves crap, so you should give it to him.
He's gotten his share from us, but he gives it back. That's the thing about him is he's not gonna just take it. I actually remember once watching you guys were at LMU playing LMU, and your dad was in the crowd, you know, not reffing. And I remember once or twice, you know, you going up to the ref and maybe having a question about the last call, and all I was doing was watching him, like, how's he, you know, is he watching her interaction? Is she being respectful to the ref? But
my favorite thing is we were at Pepperdine and playing this past year, and I challenged something at the end of the match, and he's calling my dad because he's calling my mom because he's in the corner of the gym, not sitting with her, and he's like, "What's she doing? She's wasting her challenge. That ball was out." And sure enough, I won the challenge, and he just sat there and was like, "Womp womp." Well, I guess she was right. It was so funny. So
that's great. Well, I'll let him know he was wrong again. All right. We have some listener questions to close. This is from both Lindy and Lacey, the twins, the Haddocks. Oh, I guess they're not the Haddocks anymore. They're different.
I know.
Crazy. But so the first one is, how do you make sure team culture is kept sacred and maintained when a senior class graduates and you get new freshmen?
Oh, they would ask that because they were such culture kids. I don't know if there's two twins or two players that are more culture kids than Lacey and Lindy. And I think it is, it's the challenge, right? It's being able to have culture be a part of who these kids are from the time they get into your gym and having great senior leadership. And so that senior class they were a part of in 18 definitely, you know, helped the younger freshmen and sophomores learn our culture, and we're constantly helping them as well. But it's something that never stops as far as the work that needs to go into maintaining your culture and holding each other accountable for the words that we say, the actions that we take, and being able to know when to speak up and protect that culture. That's what the greatest players do. And so I think it's an ongoing task. And I think that's a great question by them.
Did you guys have some twin conversations? I know you also have an identical twin.
Oh, yeah. We have twin conversations. We have twin pictures. We have twin stories. And so they're just great people. And I connect with a lot of people, but twins are special. So.
Yeah. I was surprised. Lacey said she's hoping she has twins. I don't know if that's common.
Awesome.
I guess you enjoy it. Not that she's pregnant, but she said it if she does one day. All right. They also asked, what kind of relationship do you strive to maintain with your athletes?
Yeah, I think relationships are obviously critical in how we're interacting and making sure they know that we care for them and we love them and that we'll do anything to help them succeed. And and develop as people, not just volleyball players. You know, we don't want them to lose sight of the development as people and what we want them to accomplish their dreams after BYU. It's not all about the volleyball, but it's what do you want to do in life, and let us help you develop to do that. And so the relationships are two-way street. And so constantly working to develop those and be vulnerable and be open and show, you know, all sides of myself to have build that trust. And I think trust is a big part of those relationships and love, and just continuing to work on those is always the challenge. And right. I love and trust both those girls. So love you guys.
And we have a couple questions from BYU men's volleyball coach and your brother, Sean Olmsted. What is the recruiting approach for the women's team at BYU as it relates to members of the LDS and non-LDS faith?
Yeah, we feel pretty strongly that we want to recruit the best LDS members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that are playing volleyball that want to be a part of our program. And so that's going to be our priority, is being able to identify and recognize those athletes that can come help us win a national championship. And from there, we definitely want players who are not of our faith, because we like the diversity that it brings to our team. We need it. We like the way that it gives us a little bit different feel. And so some of our best players have been non-members of our faith. And so it's not they don't have to be members of our religion, but they've got to be good people who want to be high performing in the classroom and on the court and in life. And they're going to fit in just fine.
Cool. And he asks, what percentage of errors in serving is acceptable in women's game? And has that changed with the change of the physicality in the women's game?
Yeah, we're shooting for around 8-9% service errors. And I know in 2017, we lost in the Sweet 16 to Kentucky. We were, I think in that match alone, we were 2% error. And we weren't serving tough enough, and we only lost in five. And then we looked at the season in 17, and we were at 5% as a whole. I don't even know how. So our goal was to get up to 8 or 9. And it's funny to think about, hey, we want to miss more serves, but obviously we want to serve more aggressive. We want to point score more. We want to get just better at serving. That means we're going to miss more. And so we like 8-9%. And we were able to do that in 2018. I think we were at 9%, and we went to the Final Four.
What does that look like, more aggressive? How does that change? How do you teach that?
Yeah, I think it's a mentality, and it's being okay, knowing what's best for you individually as a server. And there's some green light kids and there's some red light kids, and there's going to be kids that have a green light to go after it. And we don't want them to worry about missing serves. We don't want them to care, but obviously we can't have everybody at 20% or 15% service error. So we got to care. We got to have that balance. In women's volleyball, you got to be able to serve tough and serve in. And the worst thing you can do is miss your serve. And the second worst thing you can do is serve it easy so they can side out. So we've got to find that balance. And so being creative, yeah, with coming up with ideas to get their mentality a little bit more assertive, and maybe not so passive, and just, you know, hey, I'm going to get this ball in and just going to get this ball in. There's certain rotations where we've got a gnarly block up there and we're going to go after it. And if you're the one serving, then we're going to have those conversations and we're going to see if you can do what we need you to do. And just be as open as we can about what's going on with our serving plan, our rotations, and where personnel that we're using.
How would I'm sure that even a red light kid, like, they want to be aggressive. So how would that different, like, what would an aggressive red light serve look like versus an aggressive green light serve?
Yeah, I mean, so, and it might be, you know, based off their rotation, right? So someone's got a rotation where it's so bad that you don't want to miss your serve at all. Just serve it in, and you're going to score points, right? So it might be personnel, it might be a rotation that you're up against. But, you know, like Ronnie Jones Perry, she was a red light server for us in 2018, and we let her serve and she still kept it within like 11-12% error, which was no problem. And so I think it's just those individual conversations. I don't know. You know, some kids just really struggle to serve more aggressive, and they just can't handle the errors, and it just messes them up. And so you got to know that as well. And you got to really get them to trust that, you know, you're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Missing a few more serves, getting a little bit more assertive, and believing that you can serve flat and in the seam, and really getting them to buy in, and having opportunities in practice that they have success doing it. And they're in matches as well, and being able to point those out for them so they build that confidence for themselves.
And John also says that Gil Fellingham is your volunteer assistant, and he was a former dean of statistics. And when he was working with Hugh, the national team, he was asked to rank the skills in volleyball as they correlate to success at the international men's level. Have you and Gil discussed the women's game, what the skill ranking is as far as what helps, and is it any different than the men's game?
Yeah, I think I'd have to look at the chart again. I think it's pretty similar. We actually might even have it, but it's yeah, serve and pass and siding out, you know, attacking, and it's, you know, digging's on there for women's volleyball. So digging something where we want to make sure that we're pretty good at digging. Way more, you know, it matters more than the men's game is what I'm saying. And so there's going to be some differences, but it's. That's a good reminder to go look at that again and see. I don't know if him and I have looked at that since he's been with us, but I know he has it somewhere else.
Cool. And then final question from Sean, who has won more games at the square on Linden Avenue? You or him?
Oh, that is a good question. I'd say him for sure. I think the amount of time he spent surfing and playing volleyball and just hanging out, he probably has a few more wins than me, but together, I think him and I, we have a lot of wins. So it was pretty fun growing up down at Linden.
What's the square?
Just Carpinteria, Linden. Okay. It's this beach course down in Carpinteria, California. It's a beach called Linden. Yeah, it's like four courts down there, and we would just go play. When we grew up going to East Beach with my dad, and then when we got old enough, we just went down a mile down to the beach to Linden. We were like, we're not going to East Beach anymore. We're just going to Linden. So.
And I mean, I know you played a little bit professionally indoors. Did you ever consider coming out to the beach game?
You know, I grew up playing sand and I'm left-handed and I've got a twin. So I always had a partner. So I always tell people like I would have gone the sand route because I'm 5'9". I'm not that good and vertically, you know, horizontally challenged. I can't jump. So I'm like, right side and sand all day, you know. I know you're a lefty, John, so yeah. You know, I bummed I missed the sand game by quite a few years, but I don't know, I played pro. I missed the libero by 1 year as well, and I went over to Croatia to play libero and just absolutely loved it and thought it was my calling and that was the position I was made for. And then I got into coaching, so I don't know why. I did think growing up, and it's weird because I played against Misty May, but she was someone that I idolized and like thought I was going to be her or like her. And she's just really good. So I didn't, but I should have. And I love watching it. Obviously, going to the AVPs, like I mentioned, and being around Karch our whole life is just super inspiring. The way you guys play in the sand and the way you master your craft, I just have a lot of respect for how hard you guys work and what great shape you're in and the mental toughness you guys have. It's pretty cool.
Well, more reason to start a beach program there at BYU. So get it going.
There you go. There you go. Then I can't send you my athletes. Are you sure?
That's true. Never mind. And you guys are probably beat up on us. So don't do it. No, it'd be great to have you guys. All right. We have one more listener question. An old man in Carpinteria named Rick Olmstead. He says, who has the most influence in your volleyball career? Who has had the most influence?
Oh, that's a great question. For sure, it's been my dad. Being able to play for him is just such an honor. And he coached every single one of us. Seven kids went through Carpinteria High School, and he coached us all. And he instilled hard work and dedication and, you know, energy in us. What I'm doing and what I've become to him and my mom together, you know, they make a great combo. And I'd say my parents for sure. And believing in me that I could go play collegiate volleyball. And, you know, when I got into coaching, you know, not discouraging me at all. I mean, my dad knows high school, college coach and what that's like. And he just always supported us in whatever we wanted to do. So love you, Dad.
I remember actually one of the things he told me when he found out my wife was pregnant, and it always stuck with me. He's like, hey, you make sure you show up to everything. You show up to every doctor's appointment, every graduation, every, like, you make sure you're there. And it's like,
that's awesome.
Rick's the best. All right, one more from him. He says, have you and your sister ever impersonated each other? I'm guessing your twin sister.
Yeah, he knows that. Yeah, especially on days. He was a high school teacher, history and health. When he was never gone, but when other teachers were gone, we had subs, we'd always sit in each other's seat. And so when they called roll, we'd say here for each other. That's about as risky as we got. We'd say here, and everybody would snicker, and the sub would be like, whatever. And we did walk across the stage in middle school for each other and got our diplomas, and nobody noticed. So we did stuff like that. It was pretty fun.
That's great. Is she, and she doesn't coach, right? What does she do?
No, she was a paralegal. Okay. Yeah. And but she played at BYU Hawaii, and 4 out of 7 of us played college volleyball. So it's been pretty fun and cool.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for the time and for sharing so much. And yeah, it was just great to dive in and learn from you, and looking forward to continuing to watch BYU do so well. And just glad we got to spend the time together.
Yeah, thank you both for making time and asking me to come on. And again, thanks for everything you do.
It was fun.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks,
Heather. Thank you.